Good morning.
Good morning.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Glory be to the Father. Delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, have
mercy.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Jeremiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 18. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, The epistle reading for this morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he made to dwell in us"? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent. For on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe.
Substance with the Father, by whom all things were made.
grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You ever been asked a question that you probably thought you ought to know the answer to, but you really weren't sure? But nevertheless, you kind of pretended like you did know the answer. It's kind of like today, or not today today, but in our day where we, because of computers, use acronyms all over the place. And it's easy when somebody says something to you and they use an acronym, and you just kind of nod your head like you know what he's talking about, and then you kind of go, no, what's that mean? It's like I used to, you know, read people's messages, and then they might put in there like TTFN. Ta-ta for now. But, you know, they just put it in there like you automatically know what they're talking about. And it's kind of like, wait, what? It's a little more serious, I guess, when Jesus speaks with his disciples. They're kind of afraid to ask Jesus what it is that he's talking about, when for the second time he predicts his own death and resurrection. He tells it to them right out, and they just kind of go, okay. You know, we hear kind of a little bit of differences in the first time he says it to them, and then again the third time he'll say it to them. But here it's just kind of like they just keep walking. And the disciples are confused because they don't understand what he's talking about. But you kind of get a picture, I guess, a little bit about where Mark's going when Jesus confronts them later and says, when we were on the road, what were y'all discussing? And we come to find out where they were talking about which one of them would be greatest in the kingdom. So maybe that's why they kept silent when Jesus said those things. Because obviously, you know, they're thinking Jesus is going to be enthroned in Jerusalem. And his kingdom will begin a new glorious age for Israel, for Judah. But he talks about death. That doesn't quite jive, does it? I guess that would be pretty confusing. You're just now trying to discuss with your friends, your fellow disciples, which one of you is greatest. I'm not sure I've ever had that kind of discussion with my friends when we're, you know, around each other. Hey, which one of you thinks they're going to be greater than the other? You know, it's kind of like in the high school yearbook where people write things that are kind of nice and, I don't know. You know, no one wrote nice things about me. Well, you know, that I was going to be, you know, like the greatest person ever. Or, yeah. So here we got the disciples, though. They're kind of confused about what's going on. That doesn't jive with their thoughts of the kingdom and what that is all about. So Jesus has to take them to another level, I guess, in their thinking. Open their eyes a bit to see what's important. I mean, we can understand desires for perhaps being great. I mean, I remember in high school putting my hand to trying out some poetry, and I remember writing this poem. I'm sorry I don't have it anymore. It kind of got lost in the years. I used to know where it was, but that place where it was no longer exists. So, so this probably doesn't exist either. But it was basically about what I guess every young man or young boy or girl would be thinking about. You kind of have dreams for the future and what that future is going to be like. And mine was going to be about adventure, you know. And I said that in the poem. But I guess it's been an adventure, hasn't it? When I really think about it, it's just not the adventure I was thinking of. You know, I had more lofty ideas of adventure. But, you know, that's a young person's mind and heart. And I suppose also for the disciples, their ideas, because they were young men, you know, I suppose for them, they had ideas of grander, lofty ideas of what the kingdom would be like when Jesus came into his own, that is, his power. Not really realizing, though Jesus was demonstrating that his power was there with them now through the things that he did, through the feeding of the 4,000 plus people, the feeding of 5,000 plus people, walking on water, calming the sea with his voice, raising the dead. Not realizing that the kingdom of God was now with them, not that it was something to come. And that's what they were talking about, when it comes. Well, it's here with them now, but they're not seeing it because they're looking with the eyes of the world, really. I mean, the way we all kind of look at things by nature, not by spirit, but by desire. By desire. So some of the disciples had a desire to be great, not really understanding what it is to be great in the kingdom of God. That greatness was topsy-turvy. What you consider great is going to be pulled down and become low, and that which is low will be raised up and be great. Those are confusing words. Yet that's what Jesus talked about. So he says to them, you know, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. The child in this case isn't being shown to be how we are to humble ourselves, be like little children, for such is the kingdom of God. He's not using the child as a demonstration of how we should hold the child or hold the kingdom of God like we might hold a little child close to us in our hearts. But instead, he's using the child as a demonstration of that which is weak, that which is looked at as really not important, not great at all. There's no greatness in a little child. A little child, we know, is learning and growing and maturing, hopefully, being taught in the ways of God. Greatness, you wouldn't consider a child great. Yet Jesus says, if you receive one such child in my name, you receive me. And of course, whoever receives me, he says, receives not me, but him who sent me. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one whom the people have been waiting for and looking to. And the kingdom of God is now in their presence. The kingdom of God has come into the world. And all that they used to think about as being important are now being directed to look at them as they are. They are transient things. You hold them for a while, and after a time, they're gone. I mean, consider this. The number of people that are homeless and living on the streets, they weren't always living on the streets. Many of them probably had very good jobs somewhere. But whatever it was they had before, and they might have been successful. They might have had a big home, 2-car garage, car in each stall. But now they might be living on the street. Where'd it go? Things are transient in this world. There is no permanence to the things of this world. One is great one day, and the next day there has been. One day a quarterback can be at his strongest and best, or a lineman, or any other player on a football team, but in a second it can all be taken away because of an injury. And eventually age is going to catch up to them, and their career as a football player is finished. I only bring that up because football is on again, but you know. But it's true, isn't it? We don't know what tomorrow will hold for any one of us. Yet Jesus would have us know that the kingdom of God is here. His promises, God's promises, are certain, and they're not transient. They're not of this world, because they are from God. And Jesus is from God. He is God. If you receive a child, you receive in His name, you are receiving the Lord Himself. And if you are receiving the Lord Himself, then you're receiving the Father who sent the Son to die for our sins. His promise is made certain to us because of the words He spoke earlier to His disciples. The Son of Man will be handed over into the hands of men, and they will crucify Him, and He will die. And on the third day, He will rise again. Perhaps they were having problems with, who is this Son of Man that He speaks of? But then they should have known by now. He uses a messianic kind of terminology here, Son of Man. Not speaking of any old person, but speaking of the Messiah. They know who He is. Peter has even confessed who He is. You are the Son of God. Can't get much better than that. But what does that mean? Jesus tells them, it means, I'm going to die for you. And that death makes all the difference in the world. It changes the world because God has brought His kingdom to men. He has brought His kingdom down to us. He has made His salvation known to us through the Son. We do not have to wonder, does God love us or care for us? He loved us so much, He gave His Son. That's how John says it. You can't get a more better picture of God than that. If you want to be great, then be least. Humble yourselves and know that God Himself humbled Himself and became least. though he had all of the Godhead within him, yet he emptied himself for our sake, taking on flesh and blood. He did this for us. He became the least in the kingdom of heaven. And now, because of his resurrection from the dead, he takes all that back up, and now that which was least has become great again. And so it is with us. When we receive the Lord Jesus, then we have the promise. You are my child, and I will make you great in the kingdom of God. But greatness doesn't come the way the world knows it. It comes the way God brings it and gives it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For humility, that God, who opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, would help us to submit to him and resist the devil, that he would flee from us. Let us pray to the Lord. For our synod's leaders and all pastors, that the Lord would give them the wisdom that comes down from above, making them peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and that they would sow among us in peace, yielding a harvest of righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Holy Spirit would pacify our passions, and that we would not be ruled by the jealousy and selfish ambitions that give rise to disorder and every vile practice. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord would uphold the world in his order, for the church, that she would be defended from all enemies, for our homes, that the Lord would bless parents and children in service toward each other and faith until life's end, and for the government, that God would grant all authorities health and wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those in need, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Reuther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Sue and Dean Soberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Carl and Jackie Roche, and Robert and Donna Knopf, Cody Ohl, and Bessie Kasich. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who draw near to the altar today, that in repentance with cleansed hands and purified hearts, we may receive Christ, who draws nearest to us in his body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord of hosts, grant that what we ask from you may not be squandered after our passions, but sought rightly in faith, that we may receive them and put them to service for you. And our neighbors, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy, You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Any announcements?
We will have cleared a little over 2,000 after we pay for the
Now, I just got a question on that October 9th thing at Caroline's. Is that BYOB? Bring your own Bible?